Hello, my name's Caesar and I'm a real alcoholic.
Caesar.
I want to thank High Desert for letting me share my experience, strength, and hope. It's really an honor and a privilege to do this. I wish Mark was here too. I would like to thank him, speaking to the mic. Yeah. I have a home group that takes recovery very, very serious. It's called Into Action, and if you don't do your steps, you know, you pretty much got to get to stepping. And for a knucklehead like me, I really needed that structure. You know, so I'm very grateful for that. My sobriety date's 129.07. You know, it's been over 17 years now since I had a drink, and I'm also grateful for that date. Sorry about that. So what it was like? What it was like for me? I started real young, you guys. I don't know about you, but my mom, you know, my real dad, he died early, and so when he died, my mom remarried, you know, a couple years later, and he was one of us, an alcoholic, right? But he wasn't one of those happy drunks. He would watch the ball game or play cards with us or whatever. He's one of those drunks that he would get drunk, and then he liked to put hands on people, right? And so he would put hands on my mom, and then, of course, me being the mama's boy, you know, I want to protect my mom, you know, he put hands on me, right? Now, that doesn't make me an alcoholic, right? It just made me really, really pissed off at this world. I couldn't understand why this man was in our lives. And I really couldn't understand why she kept choosing him, right? I come from a big family, four older brothers, two older sisters, and of course, when my older brothers would find out, then they put hands on him, right? So between 8 and 12 years old, it was a very, very violent home. Either you were going to the hospital or you were going to jail, right? And then this is what I saw, you know? And but again, this does not make me an alcoholic, you know? I was just really, really scared. I became a little runaway, right? I'd run away to the corner and then my brothers would bring me back, but, you know. But so anyways, at 12, right, I met her, right? The love of my life, right? Puppy love, okay? And anyway, Sandra, and she had an older brother, right? Ernie Chavez, rest in peace. He was one of us. He died from this illness, you know. And but Ernie was the cool, tough guy, right? All the girls laughed at his jokes. All the girls wanted to be with him, you know. We used to go to North Hollywood Park, and we used to go off these jumps at the park, and he would do these trick jumps all the time. And Ernie was the cool, tough guy, the famous guy. He played all the good songs on the boom box. His clothes always matched. All the girls, everybody loved Ernie, right? But Ernie was a drug addict. So I wanted to be a drug addict, right? Because my stepdad showed me exactly what alcohol does to a family. And I swore to God I wasn't going to be that man. In fact, when I came in these rooms, I didn't see your faces. I saw my stepdad's face. You know, and, but of course that didn't stop me from drinking, right? The effects that alcohol produces, right? The girls are laughing at my jokes. You know, the homies think I'm this cool little G, right? I become the super Caesar, right? And you can't mess with me, you know what I'm saying? I found solutions. I wasn't that scared little boy anymore. You know, I belonged on this planet, you know, and was on it cracking. And what it was like for us, you know, we used to get drunk, you know, whatever, smoke the funny cigarettes, and we decided one time we wanted new bikes, so there was this bike shop called Leo's Bike Shop in North Hollywood, and there was like 10 of us, and I was a little one, I was a peewee, and everyone was like 16, 18, let's go. So we went in there, we break in, the alarm's going off, doo-doo-doo-doo, right? Everybody grabs a bike. Hey, can you give me water? Everybody grabs a bike, and there's no more bikes for Little Caesar. Right? So I'm looking at it, but there was a Diamondback and a red light on the wall, and I wanted that Diamondback. So I grabbed the Diamondback, and I started running down the alley, and now I can hear the cop cars coming, the sirens coming, and I hear the alarm. I'm freaking out. I'm loaded, and one of the fools roll up on the bike, says, "Get on the bars, fool, get on the bars." So I get on the bars, and then we're jamming down the alley. I can hear the cops coming. I'm freaking out. I still hear the freaking alarm. And it was one of those super moons, right? The moon was so freaking huge, right? And all I started doing, I just started pointing at the moon. Home, home. And they're like, what the hell? It's like, home. You guys remember that movie E.T.? Remember when E.T. and his friends were getting away from the cops and he was on the handlebars? And they were flying in the sky? Oh, I was flying, all right, trust me. But this is what happens to me when I get loaded. Whenever I take anything that affects me from the neck up, okay? And that night I became a little alien. And But the thing I want to get across is, you know, I love getting loaded, and I didn't care about the consequences, right? And that's pretty much how it was. And then I remember Mom's was like, I got that old school mom with the broken English, and she's like, ay, mijo, what am I going to do with you, mijo? So she's thinking she can move me. It's them. It's the friends. It's my homies, right? So she moves me across the tracks to a nicer area, right? Northridge, Reseda. So I become that guy, right? That guy, right? The guy that throws the ditching parties, right? This is like 14, whatever, and junior high. And we live right across the street from Northridge Junior High. So me and my friends, we get on our bikes and we go to the store before we go to school. And depending on what we wanted to drink, whether it's beer, then we do beer runs if we want to jack some bottles and take some shots, whatever, play quarters, whatever. And then we go and get the girls, second period, whatever, and then we bring back to my house and throw the party. And so I remember one day I was kicking back with, I had a half a gallon of vodka, and I was trying to impress a girl, things we do, right? And all I remember was passing out, and my friends were dragging me down the alley, and there was this old lady with a hose wetting me down, trying to wake me up, you know, and I pretty much OD'd off alcohol. And somebody called the ambulance, probably the old lady, she called the ambulance, and they had to go pump my stomach, alcohol poisoning, right? I OD'd pretty much. And you would think, okay, Caesar, you got a problem, you know? But I love getting loaded, and I don't care about the consequences. And so, again, Mom's, God, favorite girl in the world, right? And she was like, ay, mijo, what am I going to do? So she was like, okay, we're going to move out here. Now we come out here to Antelope Valley, right? Palmdale. I called it back then, it was like Buffalo Country, right? Little house on the prairie. I swear to God, there was nothing out here back then. There's a saying back in the day, you could take the homie out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the homie. And this is so true for the real alcoholic. A real alcoholic, you could take away the alcohol, but guess what? If he's a real one, he's a real one. He's still an alcoholic. You know, alcohol and drugs is not my problem. You know, and we learn this in the steps, though. You know, and so, anyway, so I find my people, like us, right, at a park. It's called Corson Park. It's in Palmdale. It's my spot, right? That's where, I learned the business of being a Scarface of Palmdale, right? In my mind I was, right? But anyway, there was some lame over here. He thought he was Scarface, and he was doing a deal through the car, and he was leaning in the car, and back then, I'm dating myself right now. He was wearing one of those fanny packs, right? And he was leaning in, and then he decided to jump in the car. And then he jumped in the car and took off, and his fanny pack dropped. So, of course, like a good alcoholic, I grab it, open it up. Now, I know you guys look like a classy crowd. I don't know if you guys ever tried this stuff, but it was acid, LSD, right? Blaze. And there was like 30 hits. So I was going to get everybody high. So I was like, phew, 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 right? I don't know about you guys. When I've done this, every time I've done that stuff, I always have a good time, but at the end of it, I start having a bad trip. Right? And in the beginning, it was like, oh, the colors. Everybody's laughing. We're drinking our Coronas, right? And we're kicking it, having a good time. But then in the end, I was like, hey, fool, how do you breathe? Show me how to breathe, fool. I don't know how to freaking breathe. I forgot how to breathe. Show me how to breathe. In my mind, I'm suffocating. These fools run away from me like, it's the thing to do. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm chasing them. Show me how to breathe. And they're running away from me. Get the hell away from us. And we're running at least probably like a 20 minutes, half hour, running around in circles in the park, like little kids. And then all of a sudden, you know, we stop. I'm panting. Hey, fool, I'm breathing again. Look at it. And they're like, get the hell out of here. You're out of here, fool. They were going to boo-bop me. They were going to jump me. I said, I got you loaded, right? And they're like, get out of here, fool. You're done. But this is what... Anything I take from the neck up, affects me. I love getting loaded. I don't care about the consequences. In my mind, I was dying. And you'd think I would tell myself, hey, you got a problem. And it just wasn't like that, you know. It made me feel comfortable in my skin, you know. And it was my solution to life. It really was. And you know, in one of our stories, in the back of the book, it talks about, you know, there's going to come a time where you can't picture life with or without alcohol. And you will know loneliness like you have never known before. And then you will wish for the jumping off point, you know. And I'm no different. The last year of me partying, last year, maybe even 2 years, It was all doom and gloom. It was poor Cesar. You know, I was homeless. I was squatting in houses. You know, if I had something for somebody, they would let me stay at their pad. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much how it was. And I couldn't understand why the doors kept closing on me. You know, my brothers were closing the doors on me. I come from a big family. They kept closing the doors on me, and it was pissing me off. I really couldn't understand. And then now, the chrome to the dome thoughts were happening. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I couldn't stop, though, right? Because I didn't understand peculiar mental twist and the craving of the body. I didn't understand this. All I know is before, when I got loaded, it would push all those negative emotions down, right? Whatever I was obsessing on, it would push it back here. But now when I got loaded, those emotions were like, those negative emotions were 100 times worse. Whatever I was obsessing on was like right here, boom, 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 right? And I couldn't stop. And then here comes that little voice. Take a hit, take a drink, take a hit, take a drink. You got to take it now, you know? And I just thought I was crazy. And I was thinking, you know, I was just a bad man. And really, I'm just a sick man. You know, we learn in these steps. So anyways, my brother, thank God for my brother, you know, he gives me a call, right? He calls me and he goes, AC, just check this out. He's like, I got this job. And you want to make some quick cash. And I'm like, right away, I'm thinking, oh, okay, I could go get a Momo, right? Maybe we'll get a dollar burger somewhere because I haven't eaten for a few days, right? And then go re-up, go get some more stuff for the brain, right? Now, this fool, he takes me to acting rehab, right? And I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, check this out, you're dead to us. If you don't stay here, you're dead to us. Right now, mind you, before this happened, a few months back, maybe even a year back, you know, I did one of those things that all gangsters do when their hustle's burnt, right? We go running back to mom and pops and do, hey, mama, mira, she's going to let me see the kids. All right, I need $20. Please, just $20. I need gas money. I'm going to go see the kids. We're going to take them to McDonald's. No, mijo. I know what you're going to do with that money, mijo. And then, like, the big badass that I think I am, favorite girl in the world. I start yelling. She lives in a senior citizen park, 47th and Ed. She's still there. And I start yelling at her. You better freaking give me this money now. I'm going to rob one of your damn neighbors. And the neighbors are listening, watering their grass, listening. Like, oh, my God, he's going to kill her. You know what I'm saying? So she closes the door, and then she opens it, and then she gives me the $20, right? And then that was it. I didn't see my mom again. We hurt our family so bad, for me, she had to leave the country, right? She didn't want to see her son die anymore. And so back to my brother now, when he took me to acting rehab, she didn't just leave me. She left all them too. So you know how they label us the black sheep of the family? So this is why everybody hated little Cesar, right? And it's like, so I'm in this place, right? And I get there, and I don't know who said it, but somebody said it. It's, hey, fool, you got to surrender to change. And then right, I have that attitude, right? I'm, you know, Scarface and Bumble, right? Surrender. I associate that word surrender as being a punk, right? I don't surrender nothing. What's mine is mine, and if you got something that I want, I'm going to take it. It's mine too, right? It says, but, you know, we learned. I surrendered the old lady at the time. I surrendered the bomb-ass job I had on base at the time. I surrendered the house, the car, the respect of my family, my self-respect, all for alcohol, and for whatever affects me from the neck up, right? And change. Oh, you got to change todo. You got to change everything. You can't kick with those girls that you like to party with. You can't kick with your homies that are still getting loaded. You can't kick it at the bar, the club, the spot. Dot, dot, dot. Yo, you're putting too much on my plate. I'm just trying to learn not to take a drink. But when you do these steps, you're going to learn the only thing that Caesar had to change with the help of God is Caesar. Because today I don't want to get loaded. Today I don't want to be Scarface upon me. I don't want to be at the club or at the bar kicking with those people that are still getting loaded. I made a decision to turn my will and my life to a power greater than myself. And that's not me, you know. So I go to this book study, right? Now, mind you, the two things I ran from most was cops and God. So I go to this book study, and here's this cop, dirty cop, right, ex-cop. And he's breaking down four steps. He's doing the columns, right? He's got a dry erase board right there, and he's breaking down the columns, and he's talking about the stuff. He's running it backwards and this and that. And it was like Chinese to me. I didn't understand it, but it caught my attention. And I was like, damn. And, you know, we always talk about, oh, that something told me not to talk to those people, or that something told me not to go to that place. Well, my something was telling me, hey, instead of running from cops, why don't you run to this cop? I'm asking to be your sponsor. And that's what I did. You know, I hit him up. I go, hey, can you sponsor me? He goes, yeah, I can take you through the work, but I can't do it here. But I got some recovery homes into action, right? And I was like, okay. So, you know, Tarzan is here, you know, you graduate, you're going to get your walking papers. I had nowhere to go. So I was like, oh, I'm going to check out what this old man's talking about, right? So I get to into action. Now, mind you, you guys ever seen that movie, Young Guns? Regulators, right? And in the movie, there's this old rancher, right? And he's going into the city, into town, and he's looking for fools like Dirty Steve and Billy the Kid, fools that are robbing people and just doing what we do. And he's taking them back to the ranch to show them a different way of life, right? So they don't have to be like that no more. And that's what this house reminded me of. You had your whites there, you had your blacks there, you had your homies there, but there was no politicking. There was just, everyone was learning how to live in recovery through the steps. And it was, again, that something told me, hey, just stay and peep this man out, right? And so I stayed. And right away, he taught me the ABCs. You know, Freddie was like, okay, Caesar, let's see how if you're powerless over alcohol. And right, I was like, ugh, right? I was like, no, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. Just can't afford any drugs right now. He's like, okay, all right. Let's sit down. Let's just see. He said something to me that still to this day, I'm so grateful that he said to me. He goes, let's sit. I might have some good news for you. You might not even be one of us. And I was like, ugh. You know, I took it like alcoholics were better than drug addicts, right? And so, all right, I'm going to peep this old man out, right? So I sat down, and this is what he did. He did the ABCs with me. And he back then, he called it the dance. I don't know what he calls it today. But back then, he called it. And depending on what your sponsees, what kind of mood they're in, you know, we talk about what happens before you drink and what happens after you drink, right? And why we're doing first-step concepts, right? This first-step stuff, right? And he's also sharing a little bit about himself. And while he's doing this, I started remembering my experience with alcohol and whatever I take that affects me from the neck up, right? And we all come in here with mad, sad stories, right? And we always keep one or two to our chest that we use that to, this is why we still stay loaded, right? And I'm no different. And one of mine was, you know, at the time, my 16-year-old, my firstborn, he was about that life. He joined a gang. I wasn't in his life. He was staying with his mom. And it was Halloween night, true story, Halloween night. Took his little girlfriend to the church. They were having a Halloween party, Halloween dance, whatever. And they left. He was walking her home. Another gang sees him solo, walking by himself. They pull up on the car, jump out, bah, 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 right? Three times. One in the chest, one in the stomach, and one in the back of the head to make sure he's dead, right? Now, thank God it was a little 25, 22. The bullet got stuck in the skull. You know, he's still alive. You know, and God gave me a second chance with my son. I'm so grateful for that. But at the time, everyone thought he was gone, right? And so the mother, she comes, you know, at this time I'm living in my castle, right? In my brother's garage, right? And she comes banging on the door. And she's like, hey, they got Ernest, we gotta go now, he's gonna die. He's in ICU. The truth was hitting me in the face, and I hesitated, right? Ah, she misses me. She wants to come in and party with me. Okay, I'm gonna let her in, right? So I go to open the door, and they grab me, freaking gaff me up, and throw me in the Suburban, and we go to the hospital. And now, mind you, I got big family, but she's even got a bigger family. She's got 9 sisters. And I walk in there like I'm a famous surgeon, like, where's my son? Where's my son? Like, I'm gonna save him, right? Where's my son? Where's my son? And I walk in, and half the side over here is praying, the other side over here is crying, everyone's just freaking out. Everything's loud, too, and I'm freaking, you know, well, we are. We're loaded, right? And I go in the ICU, and there he is, and he's on a breathing, he's on a ventilator, he's got tubes going down his throat, he's got freaking tubes going in and out of everywhere else, da, 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 da. He's white, he's like Casper the Ghost. It's very emotional, I'm grabbing his hand, I'm squeezing his hand, I feel like he's squeezing my hand too, I'm telling him I love him, I love him, I'm crying like a little nana, like a little girl, I'm crying, I love you, and I feel like he's trying to say I love you through the tube back. Very emotional. I start thinking. I gotta go. Cops ain't gonna do nada. I know people, right? I gotta go. Yeah. Nothing has shamed me more than that night has ever shamed me. See, because by this time, alcohol and drugs have become my master. It tells me when to go to work, when not to go to work. It tells me who to sleep with, who not to sleep with. And if you got nothing for my dome, I want nothing to do with you. You know, I know there's some real alcoholics in here. Where do you think I went? Back to the garage. Exactly. Because I'm a real one. I have the peculiar mental twist. I have the craving in the body. My son's dying in ICU. And I chose. I didn't choose. I had to go back to that garage. You know, no doubts. I'm a real alcoholic. You know? A, powerless. B, you know, that book talks about we're beyond human aid. Some of you girls tried to save me when I first got here. So they say, should have listened to your sponsor. But, yeah. See, God could and would if he were sought. You know, if you guys are having a hard time finding God in these rooms, here's the key. Here's a clue to the whole thing. It's on the bottom of page 62. It says, here's the how and why of it. First off, we got to stop playing God. You know, this thing right here, my ego is not my amigo. This thing will always tell me I'm being controlled. Believe in the lie that I could control it. Oh, I'm not going to sell that stuff. I'll sell this stuff. Oh, I'm not going to drink this stuff. I'll drink that stuff. Oh, I won't party during the week. I'll just party on the weekend. Believing the big lie that I'm in control. You know? So, I just told my sponsor, thank you. Gracias. Please show me more. You know? And that's what we did. We started running through those steps, a four step. You know, we made a fearless inventory, and they were, like, telling me, like, oh, you got to write down all the damage and the harm you did to people. It's like, oh, hell no, that's paperwork. I ain't going to do that. No, you better, or you're going to get kicked out. Oh, okay, I'm going to write everything down. I'm going to tell on her. I'm going to tell on Sancho. I'm going to tell on the racist judge. I'm going to tell on the racist cop. I'm going to tell on the favoritism boss. Oh, yeah, because everything's everybody's fault. Not Caesar's, right? I'm still in the blame game, right? So I'm writing everything down, and I'm thinking, this is my great thinking that, oh, man, I'm going to, he's going to feel so sorry for Cesar that he's going to let me get off restriction and go have a freebie, right? This was my thinking. So we're talking second column stuff, right? And so I get there, so now we're sitting on the couch. I'm picturing this. And we're like, oh, we're praying to this guy that you guys keep talking about. Like, oh, why'd you do this to poor Cesar? Look at all the things that happened to him. And this is my vision. This fool, my sponsor, he's like, oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Next assignment. I'm like, what the fuck? You know? There goes my plan. You know? And I'm like stuck like a troca. I don't know what to do. I'm not getting what this old man's saying. I'm in the back of the room now. And it's like, again, like 1 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's asleep. I had two roommates in the back room. They were sleeping. And I'm walking in the room back and forth, back and forth, talking to myself. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't understand what this old man's showing me. I don't get it. I don't understand. But now my talking starts turning into praying. Please help me show. Please help me help me understand what this old man's trying to show me. I don't get it. Please help me. Listen to me. I don't understand. And if you're not there, I'm screwed. 2-3 weeks later, I don't know, by the time I got to fourth column, I don't know, he runs that thing backwards to me, and I'm like, whoa. I was like, dang, it's not her fault, it's not his fault, it's not their fault, it's not them fault, right? I seen exactly who created the pain, you know, and it was like another shot. It was like, and then now I'm telling God, gracias, thank you, show me more, right? Now I'm in it, now I'm like getting this stuff, right? Fifth step, oh, now we got to admit to ourselves, the exact nature of our wrongs, right? The book talks about this. Solitary self-appraisal is insufficient. We can't just confess our inventory. You know, we got to share it with another human being. And the book even talks about this is a vital step. If you don't do this step, you're probably going to get drunk, right? So, man, now I got to snitch myself out, right? Snitches get stitches. I'm not going to do that, you know? But we have to share it with someone. Because it's so easy for me to see your character defects. But to see mine is very hard. It's very hard. I can see the self-seeker over here checking out the hyena over here. Oh, there's the self-seeker. Look at that fool, right? Or I can see the guys in the back, the tough guys, right? Oh, look at those guys. They're so full of fear. They're so scared. I can see their fear, right? Or I can see the girl on the phone with baby daddy yelling at him, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, whatever. And so selfish, so inconsiderate. We're in a meeting. You should be participating, right, in the meeting, right? I can see your guys' character defects, but when it comes to mine, especially those ones that keep to the chest, people like to call them justified resentments, right? That's why, because I like to play with those resentments and play with them and play with them until I was just standing there doing nothing. They did it all to poor Cesar. You know, poor Caesar, one more time, right? And this is why it's so important to share it with another human being, so they can help you, so they can help show you, they can show you how they've seen their part, right? Sixth step, are you willing to be willing to be willing? I wasn't willing. He says, if you ain't willing, then you pray on the willingness, right? We get it. You know, we got care. Everyone's got character deep. If I can't be selfish, how in the hell am I going to get what I want, right? Oh, honest? Now I got to be honest? I'm a liar, cheater, and a thief. Now you're telling me I got to be honest? That's how I stay loaded, you know? Fear? Oh, I can't be in fear? I love being in fear. Because right after fear, I get mad. And when I get mad, I feel powerful, right? Consider it. I got to care about your feelings, your wants, your needs. What about number one? What about poor Cesar? Right? So, if you're not willing, then you pray for the willingness. Now seven, right? Now, okay, now we're ready to give these character defects up, right? And a lot of times when I take my sponsees through the work, they're thinking, oh, that's just a quick prayer, and that's it, I'm going to bounce. No, we're going to sit down and chop it up. Because what's it say at the end of the prayer? Go out and do his bidding. What bidding have you been doing out there your whole life? Have you been doing God's will or have you been doing your will? Right? God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. I do not have the power to take away my fear. I do not have the power to take away these resentments. You know, I don't have the power to take away my dishonesty. This is why we need a power greater than ourselves. But on the flip side of that coin, God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. Contrary action, you know. This is another way of our feel good. I can be selfless. You know, I can practice honesty. I can practice being considerate of others instead of Cesar. Right? Put you guys first, right? I can practice some courage instead of some fear, right? And when I walk through stuff and do that courage, it feels good. When I'm being selfless and say, hey, Caesar's not that a-hole that everyone's talking about. He's cool. He helps me out all the time. You know, being honest, now I don't got to worry about a lie to cover a lie to cover a lie anymore. Oh my God, that's such freedom, you know? Eight, you know, it talks about a list. We made our list, you guys. We have four lists. You guys do the work. We got the resentments, the fears, the sex inventory, and others. That's our list. This is where we get our list from. You know, nine amends. You know, the book talks about that. We're going to get our most spiritual growth from doing amends with someone that we don't really, like, we feel like they owe us an amends, right? I'm a knucklehead, you guys. You know, for me, I grew so much when I did my amends to my mom, because I'm mama's boy, right? And so anyway, she came back. And it was the Christmas time. She came back. She came back from the motherland. And we're at this Christmas party, and my brother, you know, he's the one that has the big house. He works at the studios, whatnot. So we all go to his house. And there's my mom. She's like, hey, mama, mira, I gotta do this amends with you. You know, the book talk, I don't want to get drunk no more. Please let me do this amends with you. She was like, okay, Milo, okay, let's go upstairs. I got you something, right? She was so happy she got me a present, right? And so we go upstairs, and now I'm doing this amends with her. And while I'm doing this amends, I'm showing how they showed me how to do the amends. You know, I had my chinga, my card, and I'm breaking it down, and I'm doing everything. And while I'm doing my amends, she's like, she's happy. She's grabbing my cheek. She's crying. She's like, hey, Mio, look at you. You're so handsome now. Look at you. She had that proud look in her eyes. I swear it was the same look she probably had when I was born. You know what I'm saying? Now, you guys can call it whatever you want to call it. You could call it a spiritual experience, a psychic change, a personality change. But when I was doing that amends, I realized something. You know, for me to get loaded will be the most selfish, self-seeking, inconsiderate, punk-ass, full of fear thing I could ever do. Because I finally understood when I get loaded, it affects everybody in my life. And today I don't want to hurt nobody. I just want to help people. And I finally, with clarity, seeing, God gave me, I don't know about you guys, but God gave me a vision. He showed me, when I was doing this amends with her, everything's like slowed down. It was weird. And I imagined her, back when I was getting loaded, she was calling on the phone, calling my brothers, calling my friends, where's Caesar, where's Caesar? And she's crying, she's all upset. And I was feeling her pain, and she was feeling guilty. Like she did something wrong. You know? I don't know. But it changed me. It really did. And so 10 is a trip. 10 is like it's a combination of 4-step through 9-step in one, right? And I'll give you a perfect example for this. Well, not a perfect example, but I go to work. This is when I'm working at the college, you know, and then one of my friends comes to work, and this fool just starts talking smack. He's like, pop, 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 pop. And I'm like, oh, okay, you want to get down. Da, 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 da. And we're getting ready to go at it, right? And then, anyways, later on in the day, we're still tripping on each other. Da, 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 da. Oh, I was heated, right? So I get to the pad, get home, and then there's my old lady, and she's like, what's going on? And I'm like, so I'm like, da, 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 da. I'm like telling her everything that this fool did to me, right? He did this, he said this, da, 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 da. And she just let me rant, right? Pretty much venting, right? I'm venting right now. And then she let me finish, and then when I was done, she was like, okay, Caesar. And then she's grabbing my arm, she's like, okay, Caesar. Now tell me, what's your part? And I was like, oh, man. I hate those words, what's your part? He's like, what's your part? My part? I should have called him out at the parking lot at 3 o'clock and socked him in the freaking mouth. That's my part. No, Caesar, what's your part? She's running to 10 right now, right? Okay, maybe I was in fear. Okay, why are you in fear? Because I'm thinking what he's saying is going to get to my boss, and then I might get written up or even fired, right? She says, okay, what else? I said, man, maybe I'm being selfish. She goes, why? Why are you being selfish? Because he's a homie. He's my friend. I don't want to lose him as a friend, and this could mess us up. He said a lot of things. So, okay, what else? Maybe inconsiderate. Well, how are you being inconsiderate? Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe he got into it with this old lady at the pad, and then when he came to work, I was the first fool he saw, and he took it out on me. I said, okay, all right, so, you know, and then, you know, gave it to God, you know, made it right, you know, did my whatever. Now, that sounds like a perfect 10, but not for the ones that run 10s, because there was one thing I missed out, you know. Talk to somebody immediately, you know. The whole day, I was pissed off, right? How can I be a maximum service to others in God if I'm pissed off in my feelings? This is why it's so perfect to do a 10. Once it comes up, you share it with someone else. Get in solution. Get it out. 5-10 minutes, boom, it's done. You got the rest of the day to mess up. You know what I'm saying? This is why we do 10s. Because if we don't do 10s, everything, then the resentments just pile up and pile up and pile up. Love holds no wrongs. I can't transmit nothing if I don't have it. You know, how am I going to receive the sunlight of the Spirit if I'm full of resentment and anger and hate? You know, this is why we have to run these 10s. Or I'm going to end up doing another 4-step, or worse, get loaded again. This is what we do. This is we're the dog chasing his tail. 11. 11 is the two-way street. Sending and receiving. I have no problem sending. I pray all day. You see me driving in a car, and it looks like I'm talking to myself. I'd be praying, you know. But receiving is sometimes hard for me. Meditation, you know. In the book, it talks about it too. I'm a simple cat. I'm a knucklehead. I like simple words. And there's part of the book in Left Step Literature talks about relax, take it easy, pause when agitated. You know, I like those words, right? For example, you know, my old lady, you know, she has one of those relationships with her father, you know, daddy's girl, you know, that bond between the dad and the girl. And more like eight years ago now, she lost her father, and she was devastated. Depression, she was working at Costco, she didn't want to work at Costco no more. She was going to school to be a nurse, she didn't want to do that no more. She was just in the bed, fetal position, depressed, crying all the time. And I'm like, okay, here comes Captain Caesar, right? So I'm telling the kids, do your homework. I'll feed them, don't worry. I'll take McDonald's Monday, Tuesday, Wendy's, Wednesday, In-N-Out. Don't worry, I'm feeding them. I'm not cooking, but I'm feeding them, you know? You know, made them do their chores, da, 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 make sure the house is clean, all this, you know? Trying to say all the right things. I'm thinking of what to say to her, da, 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 feeling, trying to comfort her. And she was just having one of these bad nights, bad days, and talking to her, da da da, and she's laying in the fetal bed, and then she does one of these things. She just turns around, she goes, she looks, she's in the bed, she looks, "You just don't understand." And I was like, ugh, you know? "Don't you see all the stuff I'm doing around here?" I got heated. I got frustrated, right? I got very frustrated. And then one of us, but you know what? She was right. She was absolutely right. I do not understand the relationship her and her dad had. Because I already told you about my real dad. He died when I was like 6, 7. I don't even remember. It was that long ago. And so I don't know. I don't understand that relationship he had, you know? The only memory I have of my real dad is when we had a house in Canyon Country, and we lived on the hill, and the ice cream man truck would come up and down the hill, and I was like, "Papa, Papa, can I get some money for the ice cream?" And, you know, I'm a little G, right? I'm like a little guy. And then he gave me all his change, I remember, out of his pocket. And it was like gold to me, right? I was like, "Oh, shit." And then I put it in my pocket, and then I go run and get my ice cream, right? But that's the only memory I have of my real dad, you know? I have my stepdad, though, right? And so, anyways, one of us said, "Why don't you go to a meeting?" I'm like, "All right, I'm going to go to a meeting," right? Pause when agitated. Relax, take it easy. I go to this meeting, I'm kicking it back with my brothers, and kicking back, we're chilling, and then here comes one of my homegirls. And she's hot, she's pissed at AA, she's pissed at the world, she's just, she's so hot, she's pissed. Talking crap and this and that, loud in the meeting, and she just lost her mom, right? She just lost her mom, and that something that I keep talking about, you guys, that something told me, "Hey, why don't you get these two together, because they know exactly the kind of pain that they're going through." And that's what I did. I got their numbers, and they became best friends. I'm just on the outside looking in now, but, you know, it's all good. That's what we do around here, you know. But I couldn't receive that intuitive thought without relax, taking it easy, right? Pause when agitated, right? 12-step. This is a big deal for us as into action. We really harp on doing the steps, but that's like 1A. There's a 1B, and that's taking people through the work. I'm so grateful that my sponsor pushed this idea on me, you know, because like my brother Mario shared earlier, thank you, brother, for coming out too. We need this. Life's full of ups and downs. You know, it's like a roller coaster, and stuff's going to happen. And I need the 10, 11, and 12 in my life. Definitely. The first sentence in 12-step literature talks about, you know, nothing ensures immunity as one alcoholic working with another alcoholic from drinking, right? And just that little word, insured, you know, I look at their insurance, right? We all have insurance for everything that we love and care for. You know, we have house insurance, we have life insurance, we have health insurance, car insurance, everything that we want and need, right? Why am I not going to have insurance for my recovery? This is what the book says. I need to do this for the rest of, pretty much as long as I'm here. I want to stay here anyway, you know. And for this, I'm very grateful. That's what happened. What's it like today? Hey, man. What's it like today? I haven't had a drink all day, you know. You know, I'm a productive member of society instead of being that menace to society, which I was for over, you know, 20 years. You know, when I go to work, all my coworkers wave at me with all five fingers, right? They don't go like this. You know what I'm saying? When I come home, I have a daughter that'll come out and say, "Oh, Daddy, someone should come and give me a big hug," you know? I have an old lady that loves me. I don't know why she loves me, but she loves me. But she'll make me tacos every day if I want, because I love tacos. You know what I'm saying? You know, this thing works, you guys. I talked a little bit about how I used to stay loaded and what I used to do it. I would put poison in your lungs, you guys. But during being in recovery, and if you guys are new, you guys have an opportunity to live two lives in one lifetime. You know, think about that, you know. And I jumped on that. You know, I was working at the college. I was a custodian, right? I was a janitor, cleaning toilets, right? And I said, I could do that. I could go to class. And I was telling, you know, I was like, since I was showing you, the teacher's your sponsor. The answers are in the book, like in the big book. Jump in it. And that's what I did. That's how I looked at it, you know. And I became a respiratory therapist. Now, instead of putting poison in your lungs, I help bring life back into you, which is just like a living lens for me, you guys. And this is just something that we get to do. God put it in my heart to do this. Because it was always about Caesar. It was always about my wants and my needs. Self and self-centered is the root of our troubles. Our book tells us this. And it will always be if unless we turn to recovery. You know, a couple years ago, we had a, she got pregnant, and I thought I was going to be a boy, for sure it was going to be a boy. So one of the first thing I was thinking was like, oh, I'm going to name him Will. She's like, why Will? I said, oh, because it's got to be God's will at my age, you know what I'm saying? And she's like, oh, no. But no, we had a baby girl, a baby angel, and they did this thing. They didn't do it back when I had my other kids. I'll shut up after this. You know, back in the day when I had my other kids, you know, they had the kids and that was it, right? We didn't. But now when they have babies, for us men, they take off your shirt. I go, well, why? What do you want? And she's like, take off your shirt, fool. And then she puts the baby on my chest, right? And like the baby's naked too, and it's just, and it was another spiritual experience for me. You know, I fell in love with her instantly. I told myself I would do unconditional love. I would do anything for her. I was planning her, the guy she was going to meet. She was going to meet people like us. I was planning her wedding, her quinceañera, whatever. Everything, make sure everything's right, make sure she's safe. Already thinking just everything for her. You know? And it's something not to be missed, you guys. And AA is a program of action. It'll work for anybody, anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. This stuff works, you guys. And again, I'm grateful for being here. My name is Caesar, and I'm a grateful alcoholic.